So I'm glad he asked me to preach, because then I have about an hour of not being able to look at my phone. So that's always a good thing if for those of you that are like me and you're a slave to your phone in some degree. This scripture, I memorized this scripture when I was in sixth grade at Faith Baptist Church in Imperial, California. My Sunday school teachers were Mrs. Linnell Myrick, who is our pastor's wife, and her assistant at that time was Adriana Kraus, formerly Adriana Duran. And Mrs. Linnell Myrick had a whole, I don't know what you'd call it. She'd mime or have hand motions and motions for every portion of this scripture. And at the end of however many weeks that we repeated it and I memorized it, I do remember being able to pull some kind of prize out of a treasure box, prize box type situation. And one of those was a Dick Tracy flashlight. Okay? Yeah, which of course is well earned. Dick Tracy had a resurgence at some point in the 1990s. So that was a popular there for, I would imagine, a summer that the movie came out or something. That might have been a popular thing to buy at Walmart or Woolworths or whatever back in the day, Kmart. Anyway, somewhere in a landfill in the Imperial Valley is a Dick Tracy flashlight that will take another 100 years to biodegrade that I received as a prize for learning Psalm chapter 1. It is a very linear and practical portion of scripture. I am a very simple person, and Chase might attest to this besides some other things, but I am a very simple man, and when I explain things, I explain them very simply. And because I am not a kind and smiley person, sometimes people might take that to think that I'm being condescending. And no, it's not. I am that simple. I don't think you're that simple. I am that simple. That's all I got. So when I explain something, it's not that I'm explaining it to you like you're a third grader. I am a third grader. That's all I got. That's about the capability I have. And so these portions of scripture, I like them because you can read them. There's not a whole lot of thought behind them. They teach you something, and it is something very practical that if you remember the portion of scripture, it is I will not, I will. I will not, I will. Do this, and this will happen. I appreciate that very much when somebody gives you a five-minute instruction on something. It's like, okay, what do you want me to do, and what should happen when I do that? And Psalm chapter 1 is definitely one of those portions of scripture. The first instruction here leads, or I will use one of my other favorite verses, which is, again, very practical scripture. The very first portion of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, tells us that we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. For those of us that are alive and live in the world, and we don't live in some bunker, we are out amongst the people. We have a job. We interact with all types of people, and so it is important for us to know who we should walk with and who we should not walk with. One of the phenomenons, hopefully I'm not trying to be controversial, but that happened during the COVID and the controversies that happened, you know, during those few years, was that there were a lot of events that were very polarized, including COVID itself. And one of the phenomenons I observed as a simple person was that you either were on one side or the other on certain things. And a lot of times, the side that was, I guess theoretically, the Christian side or the conservative side, if you will, sometimes led you to agree with people that you would not otherwise consider to be Christians. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody or anything like that. I'm just saying you said, oh, I agree with that. And then you might follow them on social media, or you might listen to them on something, or you might see something that they produced because they agree with you on a certain point. And their point is right, or in our viewpoint would be right, but it would not be somebody that you would otherwise follow, agree with, befriend. You know what I'm saying. You wouldn't have him over to your house or introduce him to your wife or anything like that. They might be rough and tumble. They might be, they might be in a lifestyle that you don't even agree with, but because they agreed with us on this certain point, then they became a somebody that we listened to. Not necessarily even like they were that they were we were their disciple or anything, but we might listen to them just and we otherwise would not have. Next thing you know, you're down a rabbit hole of things, other things they believe in, and it happened on any given situation, and we ended up with following people that would not be otherwise. Somebody that would be we would consider Christian or even wholesome would you allow that that is wholesome and next thing you know we have Meemaw who agrees with this person on a conservative subject and next thing you know they are a supporter of a person that is not even Christian that does not read the Bible that does not live a Christian life in any way, and next thing you know, they would fight you in the street to defend this person, and it can happen in any type of way. It could happen with following a favorite singer, actor, athlete, other type of celebrity, and it happens all around the world, not just here in the U.S. If you'll go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and we'll come back to Psalm chapter 1. It's not like you'll have to remember it, but and along that same thought there is why I want to go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And as in that type of mentality of being a practical person, I like the idea that God has ordained the steps that I should take. And in that, that should mean, or I take it to mean, that because of that, he has made a way that I should walk that then would not put me in the way of walking in the counsel of the ungodly. So I'll extrapolate, and you might agree or not agree, and it's fine. We'll have about as many lunches together as we've had so far, if we read the Bible and we pray and we hold to a certain lifestyle as a Christian, I'm talking about as a Christian, then that means that we would put out some things that would lead us in the way of walking with ungodly people, that would lead us to walking in ungodly counsel. So there are some things that I enjoy or partake of that are definitely not put there by God. And there are some things that I have enjoyed in my life that are definitely not put there by God. And you might have something in your life that you partake of that is not brought to your life by God. Well, what got you there? Well, I guarantee it wasn't reading your Bible, praying, going to church, and trying to live a clean lifestyle, right? And so I remember former Vice President Mike Pence was made fun of for a while because he said he would take his wife with him on any sort of interaction or meeting or whatever where it would just be him and a person of the opposite sex. And people made fun of him. And you say, well, that's pretty old-fashioned. That's kind of over the top. And it's like, if God has led him in that way and he knows himself and he knows the way that God has set up for him, the steps that God has set up for him to walk in, and he knows that that's what God would have for him to do, man, please do it. Honestly. And even I thought, well, you know what? That is kind of odd. I have been in situations You know, I've had sales reps that are women that have taken me out to lunch to show me, you know, to try to sell me on a product or sell me on a brand. And honestly, I didn't even consider it. When that was made public and he was made fun of it, and of course it lasted like for a whole day, but he was still made fun of for it. And I thought, well, if God, that's the way God has led him in his life, that's honestly the best thing for him. And honestly, it might be the best thing. Should that be the best thing for me? To say that God has asked us to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and just because somebody had a righteous, or what we would consider righteous counsel one time in one situation, does not mean that they have biblical counsel in everything they have to say. We are in an era of quotes on Twitter, Instagram, whatever other social media, Facebook, and things like that. And you'd say, well, that's a great quote. Let me get that guy's book. And you read it, you're like, whoa, that's not a Christian. But he said one Christian thing, one thing that agreed with my sensibilities one time. And you're like, well, that sounds like somebody I should read. And then it turns out not to be. And why is that? Because God has set up a way, a life, a lifestyle, a pathway, whatever you want to call it, for you. There is a general one, as we read in Psalm chapter 1, but even more specific, he has put some things in your heart where you know what to do. If you talk to a brother, Greg Smith, I don't think he's here tonight, but if you talk to him for more than 20, 30 minutes, he will warn you, as he has with me and Andrew, about handing a boy, specifically, a smartphone. And he has some very strong opinions about that. And you would say, well, that's over the top. Every kid, you know, in double digits of age has a smartphone. Well, it may feel like it, but should they have one? And those kinds of things. And so there is a way that God has made for you. There is a way that God has made for me. And if you keep it simple, read your Bible, pray. Is this person following the Bible? No. Well, then I might enjoy a conversation over a coffee with them, but they're not going to be in my inner circle of friends. They're not going to be somebody that I ask for life advice. They're not going to be somebody that I ask for advice on how to raise children or what to do in my marriage if they don't live a biblical lifestyle. They might have something good to say, but if it's not biblical, that sounds mean, but it's true, right? If it's outside of the Bible, it's ungodly. And that sounds kind of harsh, but it's as true as this Bible right here. And you don't need me to tell you, but these are things that I've tried to talk myself out of and learn myself out of in this era of controversy. The next portion of scripture says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And I read a couple of things and you could tell me if I asked you without a dictionary or without reading three books about it, you could explain to me what it is to not stand in the way of sinners. I think we would all understand it, that it's not, if somebody is sinning, go ahead, right? That we would say, don't stand in their way. I think we would take it to mean that if there's sin, we shouldn't be there. I know there's probably a little more nuanced way to put it, but me being me, that's the way I would understand it. The best way I could tell myself in my mind is basically standing in front of a wave in maybe the Pacific Ocean or somewhere where there's really good waves to surf. Is there are ways to handle that wave, but if you're just going to stand there and look at it and let it crash on your head, it's not going to go well for you, especially if you're a smaller guy like me. You're going to be doing this and being sucked right back out. So you can try to hop over it. You can try to duck under it. You can try, like I do most of the time, just jump right into the middle of it and then just swim out the other side. If you want to have some fun, you can turn around and let it, you know, flow with it and let it take you to the beach. That's pretty fun if you get a good one and you can feel it, you know, without a bodyboard or a board or any kind, you can have that wave take you right back to the beach. And that's kind of fun, and it feels pretty thrilling, honestly, with to have a cold water wave shove you right back into the sand. It's pretty awesome. But if you're in the way of sin, it's only going to do one thing to you, and it's not good. And how many of us have, in this sequence of events, walked in the counsel of the ungodly? You say, I don't have anybody ungodly in my life. Well, not personally, but who do we read? Who do we listen to? Who's driving us? Our thought, my poor wife probably gets that because anytime I hear something good or I read something good, I'm telling her about it, and she's like, you know, she sometimes will be like, oh yeah, that sounds good, or sometimes she'll be like, okay, that sounds good, and just walk away because. Of the influence that comes from that. And so if we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, it's going to put us in the path of standing in that way of sinners and sin. He said, well, they had that one thought, or they're real nice at work, or they agreed with me about X subject, so I thought they were in my camp. They're a fellow. Maybe. Are they going to church? Are they a Christian? Do they read the Bible? Do they pray? Where's their advice coming from? Where does their lifestyle come from? Well, if it's not biblical, then it's ungodly. Then it's sinful. It's willy-nilly. If they lived in the 60s, they would do this. If they lived in the... In the 1960s, they would do this. If they lived in the 1970s, they would do that. If they lived in the 1980s, they would do that. If they lived in the 1990s, they would do that other thing because their way is not of the Bible. The last one here in verse 1 is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful. So who are the scornful? There's plenty of scornful folks, whether it's on the Christian or conservative or whatever side, or on the liberal or progressive side, or whatever you want to call it, left-wing side. There's plenty of scornful folks. If you want to listen to talk radio of either side, that's all that's going to happen all day. It's going to be scorn. And when you are scornful, you are coming from a position of, I have the knowledge or position to be able to deride this person, right? And it makes for great entertainment. I think it's funny sometimes. I don't think it's godly, but it can be entertaining. It can be amusing. Can you believe what so-and-so said about so-and-so? That's wild, man. I can't believe he'd say that or she'd say that. Well, scorn means we put ourselves in a position to deride this person or to even be able to scorn this person. I played basketball at lunchtime today. The favorite pastime when you're on the bench and you're watching the other people play is what? Talking trash. Yeah, you're scornful. What does that imply? That implies that I have some level of ability that would allow me to deride anybody else playing on that court. I guarantee you I do not. I guarantee you. I might be able to beat somebody in here, but I can't beat most of the guys playing in there. And so I have no position, but it doesn't stop me. You get the right guy sitting next to you, and you're like, look at this guy, look, he's about to, oh! You know, he threw it over the backboard or something. Or he was thought he was Magic Johnson and threw a no-look pass and just threw it straight into the, you know, just clanked on the bleachers. Magic Johnson, he was a basketball star of the 1980s, for 1980s for you younger folks. Some might contend he one of the best players ever. Maybe probably the best point guard ever. But anyway, when we scorn, that we are saying is, I am in a position to have this type of contempt to this person. And on the basketball, we're not. It's not to that level. It's not personal. You don't hate the guy. And you might even, when he gets off the court, you might even tell him what you said about him. And then he goes and does it. Goofs up in the way you thought he would, right? And they might get a kick out of it. It's funny. But in general, in life, if we sit in that seat, if we put ourselves in that position, it doesn't make for a good life. It doesn't make for a good lifestyle. It's not good for them, and it's not good for you. Have you ever said something about someone and it comes back to that person and then they're bold enough to ask you about it? Ooh, that's awkward, right? But that's what we get if we say something about someone, right? And so to sit in that seat, it implies that we have a position from which we can deride this person. And generally speaking, I love you guys. I know you guys. I respect all that you do for the Lord. But most of us are not in that position. We may be in a specific area here and there, but most of us, you know, are not in that America's Got Talent, American Idol type of situation where we could sit at that judge's chair and say, ah, you're no good. Get out of here. Or what kind of idiot would do? I've done it. But there's no way I should put myself in that position. Now, you say, well, what? Is that even sin? I don't know. I guess you could argue if it is or it isn't. But the way the linear for a third grade level mentality like mine, the way that God puts it is, if you walk in this council and you stand with these sinners, this is another thing to watch out for. So the same person that would have the temptation to do the first two also has a temptation to do the third, and I probably fit all three. And so I would lead you to say, at the very least, it's not a positive thing. How about that? If we can agree on that, that it's not a positive thing to put ourselves in that position and do that. And it doesn't lead to good things. And is that the right time? Yeah, okay. If you'll follow me to the second verse, this is kind of where we'll end up here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So if you're like me, there are things that I delight in, and then there's a completely other set of things that I meditate on day and night. Right? The things that I delight in the most are not the things that I get to meditate on day and night for the most part. And I've put myself in that position, whether it's the work that I've chosen, you know, my business, my friends, just the position that I'm in, and that can make for, at the very least, not a positive lifestyle. Just think in your mind, what things do you delight in? If I told you, we could throw. And you wouldn't, because I wouldn't either. But if I could put your phone in a Ziploc bag, lock it in this locker for the day, or your laptop, or whatever, And I gave you this credit card, and you could take yourself, a best friend, your family, one of your kids, whatever, one of your parents, and just go do whatever you wanted for the day. I guarantee you, number one, most of us wouldn't take it because we're so busy. You're like, I can't. There's no way I could. And then two, those things that we would do on that day are things that we rarely, if ever, get to do or meditate in day and night. The scripture, obviously, because we're talking the Christian way, the way that things should be, the scripture tells us that this man, this blessed man, right, delights in the law of the Lord. Right? So if we delight in the law of the Lord, then we would meditate in this law day and night. But I guarantee you that most of my day is not taken up meditating on the law of the Lord. It's a shame. And even on the secular level, most of the things that I delight in outside of the scripture are things that I rarely even get to do or consider or never mind even think about for 10 or 15 minutes of my day, generally speaking. I like going to baseball games. When's the last time I got to go to a baseball game? You know, was it yesterday, right? There are certain things I like that I don't get to do, don't get to meditate in. Like I said, never mind the important one, the law of the Lord. Even today, I was preaching today, and I had to at some point of my day just say, I can't, and turn things off and just read the scripture. And he said, well, it doesn't look like you put all that much thought into it. But I did have to at some point or another say, I need to sit down, I need to read these scriptures, and I miss telling you to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 33 through 34. Basically, that one tells us the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Surely he scorneth the scorners. And I think I had some great thing to say about the position that God is in. He can consider scorn. We can't. We're not in that position. But I was trying to say that the things that we should delight in, we don't think about, we don't meditate in them, we barely even get to read the Word of God. If you're like me and you work, you're sitting there at lunch, you got 5-10 minutes, what do? And I have the Bible on my phone in any language I want. I could even sit there and listen to somebody read me the Bible. What am I doing? I looked at my emails, nothing important. Okay, good. Look at the weather. Look at my calendar. What job's next? What do we got going on tomorrow? Oof. Never mind the other goofball stuff like social media, reading the news. I don't play games. I went to the car wash today, and the woman that was the cashier, she was playing a game out loud. She never stopped. I told her, I want this wash, and of course, thank you. I know it's going to rain, but my truck needed washing. I said, I need this car wash. She goes, okay. She just put out her hand, and she's playing on the thing, and she never, and I could hear the theme music of the game going. And I could hear her actions, you know, as she does things. But in her, for, you know, respect to her, because she billed my card, gave it back to me, reached in my window, never stopped playing the game on her phone. I thought, man, that's talent. What does she meditate in? She meditates. She fulfills her time with that video game. It's a time kill. She's getting paid by the hour, I would assume. Not by the car washes, right? And so she's there playing her game the whole time. That's what takes up her time. That's what she meditates in. Could you imagine if you, or I, or and I, would meditate, number one, on the Word of God, or also meditate on the things that we delight in even outside the Word of God. Wouldn't our life be more pleasurable? But no, what do? I torture myself by looking at the news. Can I do anything about it? I can't help McCarthy. He hung himself. I can't do anything about it. The most terrible thing you see, you know, the terrible fires in Maui. Can I do something about that? I can pray for him, but I don't need to read 30 articles about it. But I do, right? Doesn't stop me from wasting time. So the scripture, again, blessed is the man. Do I want to be blessed? Yes, Lord, I want to be blessed. Then he says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But Lord, they might even agree with my pastor on a certain point. Well, are they a Christian? Do you think they read the Bible? Do they lead a Christian lifestyle? Then why do you listen to them all day? Oof. Right? Don't stand in the way of sinners. Is there sin going on? Some of it's pretty obvious. Is there sin going on? Well, don't stand there. Get away from there. That wave's going to knock you down. It's going to make you wish you hadn't got under that wave, and you're going to be standing on the beach, you know, spitting out salt water through your nose, and you're going to, you know, your sinuses are going to hurt for the rest of your vacation. That's sin. You're going to wish you hadn't done it. Some of it is pretty obvious, but some other things, you're just walking with that ungodly counsel. Next thing you know, you're standing in sin. In the seat of the scornful. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And like I said, there's a lot of things in this world you can look at and go, ha-ha, or, you know, where do I get the standing that I am in any type of position to deride somebody, to scorn somebody, and all of that? I'm not God. Even on my best days, I don't have much to hold me up in any type of position to hate on somebody else, as we would say nowadays. Why? Because we can always find somebody that's having a terrible time. We can always find somebody that's having a terrible time, and we can mock them, deride them, but we should obviously pray for them, that God would help them. And to close, what should we delight in? What do we delight in? And of course, I think we can, it should go unsaid, but if you delight in sin, well, that's a problem, right? But we should delight in the law of the Lord, and then we should meditate on it. Don't be like me. Don't waste your time reading emails or seeing if an invoice got paid or whatever. Get it done. Just get your work done, and then meditate on the law of the Lord. I don't think I wish I would preach every Wednesday, but I think that is why ministering in some sort of way, or sharing the word, I should say, in some kind of way, is helpful in keeping us in line, is because you've got to read the word. At some point or another, you've got to sit down and say, okay, whatever I've been doing, I need 1 hour, I need 30 minutes, I need 5 minutes, and I just need to read the word. I need to come up with a truth from the word, and then in doing that, it helps us. And that's why for so many years, I think I was kept in line by that, and just reading the word and knowing that this is God's word, and at some point during that day, I was going to have to open it and read it to seek a truth from God. When I was a wannabe preacher boy, and I would, you know, preach chapel and Sunday school and on the bus or the Spanish ministry or something, You're reading the Bible. You're coming up with a sermon, and you're willingly and sometimes unwillingly meditating on the Word of God. What does this scripture say? What is the truth in this? And what is helpful in this for these people that I'm teaching or preaching to today? And boom, it helps you. Probably more than it helps anybody else. You need it more than anybody else. Because what? You're not telling me what to preach on. I'm praying and I'm reading the scripture and I arrive at a scripture that God knows I need. That's all he's doing. You're just here to watch the train wreck, right? The scripture is what God's trying to deal with me, right? Man, if I could just delight and have time to meditate and delight in the Word more than I give myself, it would change my life, and I think it would change yours as well. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're early, so just remember that we were done early. When were you done? Early. God was done like 10 minutes early. Great. Fantastic. All right, just share that word. All right, let's pray.